Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast with Jonathan Way, where we unravel the secrets to financial success in the dynamic world of commercial real estate. We're bringing in special guests to share their insights on how they started their journey and crafted their way to success. And here's your host, Jonathan Way.
Welcome to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Way, and I'm the founder of Greystone Capital Group, my investment firm. If you're interested in passively investing with us, please visit greystonecapgroup.com and join our investor network. Okay, and now on to the show. Hello, everyone, and we have Craig Magruder on the show. Thank you for coming to the show, Craig.
Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure, and pleasure to connect with you again so quickly. I think we just spoke no less than a month or two ago.
Yes, I'm very excited and happy to be on my show, Building Wealth in Commercial Real Estate. So tell us a little your background, how you got started in commercial real estate.
Yeah, well, background, actually, funny enough, I kind of stumbled upon and into the business. I was doing residential real estate for almost a decade. And one of my best friends happens to be the founder and principal of Lone Star Capital, Rob Beardsley. And we kind of spoke for some time. He kind of saw me with my career, saw my kind of tenacity, my work ethic, and kind of created my business from nothing, two times. And I think we both had respect as, you know, that's more of an entrepreneurial side. Obviously, or more of an entrepreneurial situation to be in, being in, you know, your own brokerage business. Similarly, Rob's obviously a stone cold entrepreneur in his bones and his DNA. So I think he appreciated that from myself, and we had the mutual respect there. And I kind of wanted to be part of something bigger than what I'm in now. So now I work with Lone Star Capital with Rob Beardsley, of course, and I'm the director of business development there. And essentially, buy, own, and operate multifamily real estate, specifically in Texas.
Welcome. Awesome. Very happy. And when did you join Rob Beardsley team at Lone Star Capital?
Yeah, so I joined the firm technically in 2023. So been over a year now with the firm. However, I was with the firm kind of unpaid and almost as an apprenticeship, as I like to call it, for about 8 months prior to joining the firm, just to get more comfortable with it and to have kind of a, as the Federal Reserve would call it, and the economics people would say, a softer landing into the firm and into the role. So it was a smooth transition over from the residential side to the commercial investment side. So it was about an 8 month ramp up period and then a hard launch at the start of the new year of 2023.
Well, excellent. Very happy to see that, how you transitioned from residential real estate, got into a good partnership with Rob. Rob's a great guy. He's also a coach and raise masters. We do the weekly call on underwriting and institutional capital and structuring, right? That's what he teaches. Mm-hmm. Great guy, great reputation. I'm very glad that you guys are doing good, because in this industry is very difficult, and multifamily is not an easy industry by all means. We had many years of capital call last year, and this year I think you guys are doing pretty well. So great. So tell me, so in your role, your business development, tell me a little about what exactly you do in business development in Lone Star Capital.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great question. And obviously, it's a slightly broad and potentially ambiguous title. So just to kind of answer what that looks like for a firm like us, and obviously, every firm, every company has a different role specifically for this. But effectively, what I do is kind of the sales and outreach for the firm. On top of the sales and outreach for the firm, I additionally, control and kind of structure the capital stack for our opportunities. So kind of gatekeep the equity to make sure it's the right fit, do the outreaches in that regard, and then kind of the sales and stuff. And then current and new relationships are also what I build. So continuing to double down on the people that we work with, because if you don't have repeat clients and investors and capital partners, you don't have a business. And then obviously new emerging partnerships and relationships as well, I'm responsible for. So kind of the sales outreach and the relationship side of the business. And, just finding ways we can add value and quality people into our operations, because real estate, of course, is a game of people and relationships, and it takes time to cultivate those. So,
yes, great. Awesome. Well, I'm very happy. I'm very happy to meet you and Rob Beardsley's team. And let me ask you, do you do any underwriting for Rob Beardsley? Check the underwriting, review it, that stuff like that?
Great question. I got in this position to do absolutely none of that. So I don't do any of that. I do all the sales. I let the more sophisticated finance people to cover those topics, Rob and Brad Oliver. So Rob Beardsley, the principal, and then Brad Oliver oversee that. Brad Oliver is the director of acquisitions. Very insightful. He kind of goes through the deals. And then when we have live on a deal, I'll play with it, with the model, of course, with underwriting. to kind of make sense of it, poke holes in it, and kind of ask the questions a lot of the institutional equity players would ask, to, you know, just kind of cross-reference and whatnot. We spar with one another there, and he defends the deal, and then I'm ready to go live with it to our various capital sources.
Okay, great. So you're a guy who basically go relationship, investor relations, kind of in a way, kind of investor relations, sales, kind of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my role, it definitely overlaps on the kind of capital markets, investor relation, investor side of the business. Dasha Beardsley, Rob's sister, is technically the director of investor relations, which is awesome. She's great. She kind of handles more from commitment and portal and onboarding of capital partner side, as opposed to, you know, talking through the numbers and explaining the deal and the nuances associated there. But she's more than competent and capable of doing the sales for the firm. And she also does like to get her hands dirty, so to speak, and pitch the deals as well from time to time. And she's very good at it as well. So it's definitely a trio between Rob, Dasha, and myself with regards to the investor relation hat of the team.
Okay, great. And I mean, your portfolio size, how many the Lonestar Capital acquire since you guys began your firm?
Absolutely. So we started the firm in 2018 before I was there, of course. So the firm is 6 years old now, or I guess closing in on 6 years here coming up. We've got $500 million of assets under management, which equates to 17 properties in the portfolio, the bulk of which those come in Houston. So about $400 million of deals in Houston. And then we've gone, for those who are wondering, full cycle on two deals as well, both in Houston.
Okay, great. So Houston was your stronghold. That's where you entered the market in loans in the state of Texas, where I'm at. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And I know you do a lot of specialized sort of PFIC or tax subsidy or low-income housing. Talk a little about that and your strategy about that.
Yeah, so essentially Lonestar Capital looks for two types of deal profiles. Of course, most people like market rate deals, market rate meaning, you know, no kind of nuance or, you know, more sophisticated or unique structure, just normal agency debt, you know, normal capital stack in a deal, you know, buy it, fix it, improvement down the fairway, as they would say in the business, business models. In conjunction to that model, we have several forms of tax abatement deals that are unique and interesting in itself, where we try to abate some sort of segment of the property taxes for properties that are already kind of affordable to help preserve affordability in these emerging and growing markets to make sure that a lot of the folks can get good workforce housing for reasonable prices where inflation doesn't blow them out of the water with market rents. So we look to do that, which have a nice risk-adjusted safety profile where we benefit, our investors benefit, and of course, most importantly, a public service to those who rent there that are hardworking folks who are just kind of getting eaten up with, you know, area inflation. So it's a win-win-win.
Okay, great. I know you have a big 600 portfolio, which I think, did you close on that deal?
Yes, it was the portfolio out of heck, I just say, because it's 666 units. Yes. So that one was a $105 million acquisition that we did, in fact, close and raise about $40 million for on National 1031 Exchange Day. Some call it that, others call it Halloween. So we closed that one on 1031 in 2023.
Congratulations. That's a big, big deal, and I'm very happy for you guys to close that one done. That was a very, I think, a difficult one too, in essence, because it's kind of hard to raise, think about it, $40 million, which is very significant.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, a lot of headwinds, as they say in the industry, regarding that deal. For starters, $40 million is a big chunk, as you just alluded to. Secondly, the PFC structure is kind of not really in existence anymore. It could change over time, but the PFC structure was under a lot of scrutiny from public perspective and with the mayor at that time. So fortunately, we offered up a little more enhanced affordability, and on top of a little more enhanced affordability, you know, we were just able to close it and make it happen and, you know, create a public benefit for everyone, because these properties were really in areas that, you know, more enhanced affordability needed to be. But we were able to get it done nonetheless with a changing and challenging capital markets environment and equity raising environment nonetheless. And we did that with that one true JV partner. So it was a true syndication. And we raised, you know, of the syndication, about 6 million of the 40, which was about the biggest tranche in the deal. So that was cool.
Okay, great. Awesome. Excellent. I guess mostly retail, I assume retail investors mostly.
Exactly. I would say, you know, a good amount of basically all high net worth individuals in our tranche, correct?
Okay. And was this a Class C area, Class C?
That's a great question. So the deal profiles were a little bit different. It was B pluses for Beckley and Highland, which were the two garden style assets in the northwest pocket of Houston. And then actually the other deal in the southwest area of Houston, just below of the Med Center, inside the Inner Loop, just below the Galleria of Houston, was a A-A product. It was a 2008 vintage deal that was really special. Replacement cost would be roughly about $275 a door, and we got that one for about $185 a door, roughly. So handsomely below replacement cost, which when you get into, you know, institutional level assets, things of that nature, you know, replacement cost, with meaning, you know, what would cost to replicate that property, are really being considered, especially when you look at it from a JV or just a, you know, high level institutional brain thinking of, you know, equity deployment. That's a massive factor, and we were able to achieve that. So we got that done right there, and handsomely below replacement costs. So
right. And what is the replacement cost for that asset in that area?
I would say about $275,000 per unit. And, you know, the thing that I really, really like about this, you know, deal itself, you know, for Beckley and Highland, but Meritage specifically, there's zero new construction coming up in that area and nothing that will be in plans to be constructed too. So naturally, Houston, everyone says, well, you can build anything anywhere. And that is very true. The zoning is a little bit bizarre there for anyone who knows Houston. But yes, we, you know, at Lone Star really do like to target deals in areas where there's a moat around supply, meaning there's not a lot of supply coming up for, you know, many reasons. But if you're kind of closer to the downtown areas, it's hard to avoid that as, you know, units come up left and right. You know, obviously being in Dallas or Austin, there's units coming all over the place. So you got to be conscientious about where you elect to acquire deals for sure, to make sure you don't get blown up by supply.
I see. Nice, nice. Good. It's interesting because what you told me is very interesting. You have a class A and a class B, but you still need affordability. So I guess I assume the government is looking for nicer assets, but affordability and rent to give them a nicer place to live. Is that correct?
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. If you, you know, offer up affordability and, you know, units for folks in the workforce sector, you're not really preserving or creating that much more affordability. But when you're offering and switching a deal that would get, you know, kind of A minus, you know, renters in there, you're doing a really big public service on top of the B plus assets there. So these are going to be some of the best units online for folks who are in that 60% area median income range, which is, as I said, part of the reason as to why the city wants to do it. And, you know, you might ask yourself, if you're not in the state of Texas, you know, a lot of our investors are from California or New York, and they hear rent control and they immediately think, no, that's why I want to invest in Texas, to not be in rent control. But of course, as you can imagine, in a state like Texas, what is high? Insurance is high. Well, that's kind of across the board. Obviously, some markets more than others. But of course, you know, interest rates, that's a variable throughout, not just in Texas, but property taxes is a, you know, big, big nuisance and a headwind that a lot of deals have to deal with. So if you eliminate, you know, property taxes, you're creating a massive net operating income pop day one, and where the hard work is done on the front end. So you basically get a value-add like return with a very good risk-adjusted return profile. So that's the accretive nature and the safe nature. And investing in these, you're not really needing a big bump in rents because you can only increase rents so much. So it's a very safe deal on a risk basis. So that's why we mm-hmm. like it. And also, of course, the tenants and the folks who need the workforce housing the most get the public benefit.
Great, great. Awesome. So it's great. So let me ask you, Craig, what would you share to the audience some items about Lone Star, about your firm that is unique to your firm, and what can you offer?
Yeah, I would say what's unique to us is definitely our tax abatement structure and some of those unique deals that we do. Of course, we love market rate deals as well, but we like to give, you know, superior risk-adjusted returns. So that makes us a little bit more unique for sure. I think this is something that, you know, every firm should do. I wouldn't say it's necessarily unique to us, but, you know, the three things that we like to say that make us stand out a bit are our transparency, our focus, and our communication. So our focus is only in Texas, you know, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. For transparency, we're an open book. You can look into any deals at any point. We can send you our due diligence room on Lone Star for our firm's data room. And then, of course, for communication, we're always available to connect. We're very public in that regard. And there's never a dumb question or anything like that. We're always happy to help you and get you the information and answer you need to make you feel comfortable through the investment process with us, not just at closing, but from start to finish.
Okay, great. Okay, Craig. So what are some of the stuff that you think in your daily habit that attributes to your success? What do you think that you do that helps you in your career?
That's a great question. And I love that question because we could talk about this, that, but maybe it's not applicable to someone who's not in real estate, right? So, but something that's applicable to anything is, I think a healthy body is a healthy mind. Healthy mind is a happy person. And that attributes to what I like to start every day with. I wake up about 6:40 a.m., which is not that early, but I wake up at 6:40 basically every day. I'm single with no kids. I have a girlfriend, but I'm not married with kids, I should say. So with that said, I get to wake up every day kind of when I want, but I choose to wake up at 6:30, 6:50 a.m. And immediately I go for a 40-minute run to make sure I get my exercise in and to keep my body fit. I think it's very important. If I don't work out, I get a little cranky. So I think physical health is, a direct correlation between mental health. And, if I take care of my physical health, seemingly everything else is better in my life. So I think my physical health and staying in shape has really given me a nice, at least competitive edge, I think, in my end, but keeps me very happy and keeps me grounded.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's a great thing. I love that you keep your mind, body, and soul healthy so that you can actually use your energy to in your business to help Lone Star Capital, progress, basically. That's great.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So how people reach out to you, Craig? They want to talk more about you, look at your deals. How can I reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, or I guess secondly, for the second time, thank you so much for having me on the show. Pleasure to connect with and speak with you again. If one wants to reach out to me, you can find us at lscre.com. My email is craig@lscre.com. And then also we as well have a couple shows that we do. Perhaps we can get you on the show as well for Fun Friday. But you can find us on YouTube as well.
Okay, yeah, great. I'd love to be on the show and talk more about it, and we'll help each other in this in industry. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Building Wealth Through Commercial Real Estate with Jonathan Way. If you enjoyed today's episode and want more tips on growing your wealth through real estate, be sure to subscribe. Don't miss out on future insights and success stories. If you're interested in learning about passive investment opportunities, then visit us at www.greystonecapgroup.com. Check back for new episodes. See you again next time.